Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a technology presentation from April 2016. Mr. Chuck Gruber, President and CEO, Safe Reflections, Inc. presents Key Design Factors for Using Reflectives.
They tell me that I am the only thing between you and the cocktail party, so you have to decide how fast I should talk. I have two things going against me right to start. I am an American. I speak in English, my native tongue, and I'm talking about something that is very exciting to me. That's reflective material. So those tend to come together and make me talk fast. And I recognize a lot of you, English may not be your first language. So if I'm going too fast, just say slow down, okay? Yes, this is going to be a test. So how many people have been in some type of design school, university, or trained in design? Put your hand up, please. Okay, keep it up, keep it up. Anybody else? Okay, for those people who have been in design, how many people when you were in school, university, had some level of training on reflective material? If you did, keep your hand up. If not, put it down. So we have one person, okay? Okay, we're going to keep going. So you get to keep, you can put your hand down because you're the only one left. So did you have 1 hour of training in school or more? 2 hours of training or more? Okay, did you take a course in reflective, like a whole semester? Okay, as I travel and around the world and I typically talk to people about their training as designers, I find that if you can go through all of university school and design, and if you had 1 hour on training on reflective material, that would be normal. Most of the time they're going to tell you, don't use it. Right? Somebody said once, your clothes should never reflect back to you. They may give you some training on how to use it for logos, where to put the logos so a brand can be seen best, and those kind of things. And there's a lot of guidelines around that. But reflective material is interesting to use for logos, but it really is so much more than that. I actually went to a website called How to Start a Clothing Company. There is such a website, and I Googled the word reflective, and it came back, we have nothing here. There's nothing. And actually, by the way, there is a website called www.howtostartaclothingcompany.com. So today, we're going to give you an understanding of a few things. The first thing, we want to make sure you understand how reflective works. You cannot be expected to work with it or design with it unless you know how it works. The second thing, we're going to give you 5 different things that you want to consider when you start to design clothing with reflective. The third thing that we're going to do is we're going to go through a case study using this garment right here and these pair of pants that were commercially designed and show you how those 5 design considerations were used in making this garment. If that all goes well, we have a cocktail reception following this and you can go get a beer next door. Before we start, my name is Chuck Gruber. I'm the CEO and president of a company called Safe Reflections. Safe Reflections has been in business for 23 years making reflective material, primarily for the safety industry. But over the last few years, we've invented some very unique products, and we right now, we consider ourselves the leader in non-regulated reflective. Non-regulated reflective. Regulated reflective is the things you put on construction workers or people who are on the road working. There are lots of people who are experts on that, including 3M Scotchlight. They are the experts in that. We take 3M Scotchlight and we make things that they don't do. They haven't figured out, they don't want to, all those kind of things. That's what we do. Last year, we were right here and we were part of a reflective panel where 3M, my colleague Mike Parson from Safe Reflections and others talked about reflective. And today we're going to continue that journey with a presentation. This presentation in the last 12 months we have given to 17 different companies around the world, specific companies where we've taught and worked with them about how to use reflective. And today is the first time we're having an opportunity to give that to a larger group of audience. We chose performance days because this is a ripe environment. The designers tend to be here, and that's what we want to do. We want to work with designers and help you figure out how to take Scotch Light reflective material and use it and inspire you to create your own designs. I'm an engineer, I'm not a designer. I know how Scotch Light works, I know what we do, but you have the design inside of you and we want to help you get it out. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we start, we're going to talk about what reflective is. Everybody knows what a mirror is. It's a piece of glass with a mirror material on the back of it. In the morning when you shave or if you put on your makeup, you have to stand directly in front of that mirror or you're looking at the wall. And so when the flashlight, when a light comes down, it typically goes like that. That's a typical mirror. Reflective material is very different. On top of the mirror, instead of having a flat mirror, we take optical glass beads that are about 3/4 the size of a human hair. On the back of each one of those, which is perfectly round, we put a mirror. The same mirror material that you have in your house. It's a high quality mirror. But what happens as a result of that is that instead of the light being reflected as normally, the light comes in to the bead at any angle and it goes back exactly to the light source. It's as easy as that. So in order to learn how to understand reflective, if you have a flashlight, if you have a flashlight, you have to recognize when you shine light from the flashlight to reflective, the light goes where? Anybody? When they shine the light from the flashlight to the reflective, where does the light go back? It goes back
to the source.
Perfect. Excellent. Very, very good. So this is what Scotch Light looks like under a microscope. These are very, very small little glass beads, lots of different size, all packed in nice and tight. And we want to teach you how to look at it. To start, you need a light source, and you all have been given a flashlight, so we ask you to turn that on. And you press the little button if you don't have that. If you need one, let us know. The brightness of the light does make a big difference. I sell reflective for a living. If I want to sell you reflective that is really bright, all I have to use is a really bright flashlight and it looks bright. Okay, it is a mirror. If you shine a bright light on a mirror, you're going to get a lot of light coming back to you. So it's important if you look to reflective to try to understand, you want to use actually a dimmer flashlight, something like this, as opposed to a very bright one. You need to stand some distance away from it. We're going to talk about it. You can really never look at reflective in your hand. If it's in your hand and you're looking at it, all you're going to see is the light is going to go back there. You cannot get close enough to your eye. So when you get to be 10, 20, and 30 meters away, that's when you can really see how reflective works. But you do want to get that light as close to possible. So you can put it between your eyes. You can put it here on your nose. And I have a piece of reflective here, this way. And so I'm asked that you all give a shot to look at that. And what you should be seeing is the light shining back to your eye and seeing that bright light coming forward. If you take your flashlight and do it from the side and bring it in like this, kind of you'll be able to see it as it gets in right in front of your eye. You should be able to see a very, very different amount of reflective. Okay. Congratulations. You now are all trained on how to look at reflective. The second thing you want to learn about is brightness. How it works, how to look at it, and brightness. Just like just about everything in the world, everything is not equal. And some reflective is brighter than others. And there's a measure of brightness, we call it the brightness measurement. It is an RSMA measurement, and it has a scale. So these are all pictures of different types of reflective. The scale ranges from 0 to roughly 500, where 500 is the brightest reflective on the marketplace, and 0 is pitch black. So actually, in the marketplace, people sell this kind of material as reflective. And a lot of brands are using 25 candle power material as reflective. It really isn't until you get to over 100 that you start to see some visibility aspect. And really what you want to be using is the 200, 300, 400, and 500 range if you expect to have anything to work. So you want to, one, remember that how to look at reflective, how it's made, and understand the brightness scale. So if you are designing some clothes, let's say a consumer activewear piece, there are five things you need to remember when you use reflective. The first one is the first one we just learned about. It's brightness. The second one is area. The third one is placement. The fourth one is shape. And the fifth one is biomotion. And so those are the five key things we're going to talk about for the next few minutes to take you through how to design clothing with reflective. We also are going to take you through a case study. My colleague He Yin Fung and myself visited Sri Lanka a few months ago, and we trained a company called Mass Intimates. Some of you may be familiar with them. They're a garment manufacturer in Sri Lanka. We gave this presentation, which they taught about the five things how to design with reflective. Very shortly after that, the designers from Gap, the clothing company in the United States, came and they said, let's design a garment. And lo and behold, they came up with this garment right here. So we've never met Gap. They are not our customer, Mass Intimate. But they went ahead and designed this garment. This garment was for sale in the United States recently. I bought this on the internet. I didn't even get one free. It was on for $70 US. And actually, it was on sale for $50 when I bought it. So for $50 is what I got that garment for. So what we're going to do in each one of these cases is look at the design concept and how it was implemented here. So the first thing, remember, we're going to talk about is brightness. And brightness comes in that scale from 25 up to 500. And when you look at brightness, I went too fast. Between 0 and 30, we consider that cosmetic, okay? There's really no inherent visibility enhancement as a result of something like that. Not saying you shouldn't use it, but if you're going to be using that type of product at 5, 10, 15, 20 candle power, it just looks cool. It's not going to do anything to keep somebody visible. Should never be considered as part of a safety garment or running wear. From 30 up to about 100 is where we consider low brightness. Again, I said 100 is the minimum for some where you start to get some safety factor and visibility. So if you have a safety vest and if it gets dirty and bare, when it gets to 100, you really need to throw it away. This middle range between 100 and 200, I say is medium, and it isn't really till you get above 200 candle power is that you get that high brightness material. So I'm gonna give you a chance here. I showed you the one already, now I'm gonna show you the other. These are two pieces of reflective, both of them are black. Reflective, they're not color. The one on this side is Scotch Light that has been colorized. This is about 300 candle power. The one on this side is about 20 candle power. Can you guys see the difference? Yes, you can see the difference, good, right? So that gives you the idea, if I gave you a much brighter flashlight and held it really close, you probably couldn't see the difference. So if you have a flashlight in your hand, like I told you, you can never look at, you almost can't see the difference because you're too close. As you get farther away, it's easier to see it, and the dimmer the flashlight you have, the easier it is to see the difference as well. So in this case study, we made two garments. The one on the right is 3M Scotch Light, 330. The one on the left is about 20 candle power. And those are two people walking away from us at about 30 meters. You can see at about there, the person on the left became invisible. And so you can see this is about 30 meters away. This is not a lot of reflective. This was done with a little flashlight and a camera. But you can barely see it. Actually, in this light, you can't see it, that the other person is even there. And so when we asked them and said, the most important thing about designing is you need to use a bright material, like a 3M Scotch Light material, And that's what they went ahead and used. This is 330 candle power. So at this point, we're going to say they followed directions and did a really good job. We asked them to make a garment on the other side that was of low candle power, again, around 25 or 20, and that was cosmetic. And we think this is a good example for you to understand why you need to start with good, bright material. The second thing we look at is area. Area. And to increase visibility in an urban environment, you need to have a certain amount of this on. If you wear just a little like Nike swoosh, that isn't going to help you very much. And we have come up with some ideas and some standards of how much reflective you should put. So on a jacket or a torso body, we say 200 square centimeters. Same with a shirt. Running shorts, which are a lot shorter, about half. And on a pair of sneakers, some around 25. Now these are below what you would have for an ISO standard. This is our recommendation for working with 3M and doing some visibility testing to come up with what we are recommending on a garment. So let's see how this case study did. For starters, they've put a huge amount of reflective on this. We like that a lot. It's 3 centimeters wide. It's 75 centimeters long. It has two sides. There's 450 square centimeters of reflective overall on a pair of pants, much higher than that 200 we talked about. And so they went ahead and they took our advice and they actually implemented it again. We give them a great job on that. The third thing we want to talk about is placement. So having bright reflective and using a lot of it, where do you put it is the third thing you need to think about. First of all, you need to be visible from all four sides, front, back, left, right. And you also have to do a thing which, if you can, get 360 degrees. And actually, 3M has a program called 360 Enhanced Visibility that if you go ahead and put reflective and enough of it such you can see from every direction, they'll actually send you a hang tag that you can put on your garment that says this has 360 degrees enhanced visibility. So let's see how it looks. This is that same garment taken with a person in it with a flashlight, and we're spinning them around. And so you'll notice that any given moment, you can see reflective all of the time. Even in the front, if you watch when it goes by, those pieces come together, you can still see both sides. So that reflective is actually designed to wrap around each leg, and as that person is spinning, you can see the reflective. So as far as from a case study for 360 degrees, we think they did a great job. You can see that from all angles. The fourth area that we want to cover is called the size of the particle or the size of the piece. Okay? And here we want to say is that smaller parts are always better. And there's a bunch of different reasons why that is case. But you can see if you put 200 square centimeters of reflective on somebody's chest, they look a lot like a garbage can or a mailbox or possibly a stop sign. If you spread that out across the entire body, it actually gives you more and looks larger. There's a thing called overglow, which I'll talk about. But you have basic benefits. So the first benefit of putting small pieces is you have breathability. The fabric actually can breathe. If you make a garment entirely out of reflective, you're making it out of glass and aluminum. It's very heavy and it will not breathe. So you'll see garments that are full reflective, they actually punch holes in them to try to get some air to come through, which is hard to understand. You have been working hard to come up with this very technical breathable fabrics. So by segmenting it, you wind up using the breathability of the fabric. The second thing is reflective, a piece of reflective, again, glass and aluminum, if you put that in the wash, it starts to bend and it actually beats itself up a little bit. And so as a result, you wind up having wash problems. If you segmented it, the fabric actually acts as a hinge and can create a spot that the clothing can bend. And you may get 2 or 3 times more wash durability out of the garment as a result of that. The third one is stretch. As you stretch the garment, if you have reflective, you're trying to stretch glass and aluminum, which neither like to do very well. If you have them in little pieces, the fabric will stretch. and the fabric absorbs that. You obviously get a much better hand. You feel the fabric rather than the individual pieces of aluminum and glass. And then you have a concept called overglow, which means that a small piece of reflective will actually glow and reflect light larger than the piece itself. So if you put lots of little pieces next to each other, it eventually looks like a solid piece. So in our case study, and you can come up and take a look at it later, you can see that it's 3 centimeters wide, but they made very small little pieces of reflective. Those little pieces have breathability, wash durability, and actually all of the benefits, stretch, improved hand, brightness, all those kind of things. They all seem to work well. So we were pretty excited. Again, we think they did a great job on this design. And the fourth one is BioMotion. Now, BioMotion basically is the concept of taking lights or things and outlining the human form. If you look like a skeleton, like that, there is something in the human brain that says those dots are not dots. Those dots are a person. 3M has done a lot of work around that, a lot of other companies as well. Anywhere from 2 to 3 seconds faster, a driver is going to recognize those dots as a human person than a big square. And those 2 or 3 seconds can be the difference between hitting somebody or not hitting somebody. And so what we want to try to do is create BioMotion, this idea of identifying the human skeleton. And then lastly is we want to try to put the reflective, when possible, on the extremities, because that shows movement. And so you can imagine this mannequin, somebody walking, you are first of all covering all of the leg, and you also have the extremities, so as the person's walking, they can see that. So how did they do on their example? And again, here's a picture of somebody running in those that garment. You can see it right up and down the leg. And if that was blunt, just light coming back to you, you would say that's a person running. That's not a garbage can or something like that. And so again, we think they've done a really good job on this example. We've taken these 5 concepts that we have: brightness, overall area, placement, particle size, and BioMotion, and we've created a rating system. This is not a rating system that I would think the general public would use, but if you are a designer, there are trade-offs all the time. So when you do one thing, how does it affect the other thing? And we've come up with a scale of how to come up with see how well a garment rates. So in this particular case, depending upon brightness, if you use the cosmetic, you're going to get a 0. If you get into the low between 0 and 50, 50 to 100, you get a 1 or a 2, 3, 4, all the way up to a 5 if you're up to 300 candle power, the brightest reflective on the marketplace. This material was 330, so they get a 5. So far, good score. Now you're going to see the next 4 items at the end get multiplied by that score. So even if you use a lot of it, you put it all in the right place. If you're not using bright material, it's hard to get a good reflective score. From overall area, you can see that range that we talked about. We looked at right somewhere around 200 is where we're recommending. They had 400, over 400 square centimeters, so they also received a 5. They used it, did a good job. Oh. In placement, you can cover 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 sides, but because they were able to cover all 360 degrees, they also got a 5 as well. And then the part size. How big is that? The square centimeters, how big those parts. And the way they've designed that, they have a large part size, and we gave them a 5. And lastly, did you cover 1 part, 2 part, 3 parts, 4 parts, or try to cover the full body human form? They were able to do that in this example and come up with the first 5. So they got a score of 20. Times 5, you'll get 100, and that's the maximum score you can get. If you did the same garment and used a lower candle power, they still would have the 20, but they would come back with a 40 or a 60 score, obviously, using a lower. Again, this is a tool that we've come up with to help designers understand how those different things relate to each other when you're starting to look. We took this score, and we had some of our customers from New Balance actually came in, and we literally took their garments and rated the garments for their designers to show them. Sometimes very simple things you could do can raise the score significantly. Sometimes not even maybe putting less reflective is less. So as just like everything else, when you start to talk about the design, as you incorporate elegance and these concepts, you can really come up with a cost-effective way to use a small amount of reflective to meet hopefully both your design objectives as well as some of the visibility objectives you're talking about. So in summary, we all now have a common understanding of what is reflective and how to look at it, right? You all went through that. You each now know the five most important design elements with reflective, and you've seen a commercial garment that has done. I'm very excited because this was a chance for me to go and talk to some designers, and then they went ahead and did it. And so we hopefully are, at this presentation, inspiring you to go out and design some new clothing and new concepts using reflective in different ways than maybe you have in the past, and to meet these objectives and hopefully pull that inspirational design out of you. We are over in the next hall over. We are the Reflective Design Center. And there, we're sharing lots of different concepts. If you would like to talk about any more of these concepts, we certainly would love to do that with you. If you'd like to see them, how they've been implemented by other brands or some other ideas that we've come up with, we'll be there. 3M and Rudiman Hawk and Safe Reflections have a joint booth. We actually have up to, I think it's around 12 or 13 meters that you can look at reflective from different distances. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for your attention. I know it's the end of the day here, so I appreciate you staying. And of course, if you have any questions, I would be most willing to address them. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2016 by Design and Development GmbH, Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.